Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast.
And of course, you know, inflation and everything else driving the supply chain crisis. NBC's been on a roll, I got to tell you. What did they had? Some chick on MSNBC. I don't know who this chick is. She was saying trucking is an industry populated by a lot of white men over the age of 55. Did you hear this? This was crazy. Here, I got this. Let me play this real quick. So this was crazy. This is, hang on, I'll make sure. Tiffany D. Cross. The D is important. Tiffany D. Cross, Kane, MSNBC, talking about trucking. I'm like, have you seen a truck? I'm curious.
I have to tell you, my brother is a truck driver, and he drives across the country, and it's very nerve-wracking to me when he's on the road, because it feels...
Oh, my gosh.
This morning, and yes, we are, and we say we're not building truck drivers, but safe CMV operators, mm-hmm. folks that can get back to their home whenever they're done with their shift.
So they're talking about truck driving.
That's the most important part, man.
Well, it's like hearing some of the racism over the CB, you know, this is, again, an industry populated by a lot of white men over the age of 55. This group of people overwhelmingly voted for Trump. Some people have talked about, you know, aggressive truck drivers cutting them off or not being helpful. So obviously, the more populated it is with people of color, I think you'll see less of that. But how can you encourage?
Now, on TV, I don't do that. Radio. We're having a conversation for 3 hours. So she says it's an industry. Trucking is an industry populated by a lot of white men. And then she talks about aggressive truck drivers and that if you have more truck drivers of color, there's going to be, is she suggesting there will be fewer truck accidents or accidents involving trucks if there are more?
I think she meant less racism. If there were more black,
is the racism causing the accident? I say this as someone who isn't a kid, and I love my truck drivers, and like there's all with any group, whether it is PTA moms, soccer moms, Disney fans, people who like metal, people who like pop. Ugh, there's always, no matter what giant group you have, you're going to have a couple of people that you don't like in it and that don't represent your group. So I say this because when I was younger, I got hit by a truck driver. We were in a car wreck on Interstate 55. He fell asleep at the wheel and hit us, and we spun across Highway 55. Thankfully, we didn't go right to go off a cliff. We went left and into the median, thankfully, because we were traveling northbound on I-55, and we got hit, and we spun around in the median, and we're facing southbound. So when it was all over. So that was interesting. By the way, I was going to say, do you know what it's like to vomit in a spinning car? Oh. I do. Ooh. Fun. I just don't understand what her point is here. This has nothing to do with, so the racism is going to make fewer, what is it going to do? What is that going to do? This is so stupid. Do we have to, well, you know, if we have the racism. You know, here's another thing. There are more men truck drivers than women truck drivers, and there are probably a lot of reasons for that. And I seriously don't think that at a time when we need 70, what is it? How many truck drivers do we need? They said that we needed 20,000 something more. Yeah. That people are going, wait a minute, you're a woman, you can't drive a truck. Can I be real with you? I'm going to be real with you right now. This is where it gets super real. Say that I own a trucking company and I'm like hiring drivers. Look, as a woman, I don't care what your ethnicity is. I would hire you, a man, over I would this woman. Because the stereotype is a stereotype, and it sticks for a reason with the lady drivers. Okay? Because it does. I watched Kane. Y'all are here in Texas. You've seen women drive these big giant rigs. I watched Hands to Sky. It was a cream colored giant SUV. I couldn't tell you what kind it was. Huge SUV. There was a woman with some big hair who was driving this car. And then in Texas, the higher the hair, the closer to God. She was trying to do, because in Texas you can do U-turns, right? At a stoplight. She gets the green arrow. She's going to do the U-turn. This woman could not navigate this vehicle. She almost ran onto the sidewalk, legit had to stop in the middle of the road and put on and reverse back. I'm watching other oncoming traffic has to stop for her. Not the first time I've seen it. Not the first time I've seen it. So I'm just saying. I know there's some good lady drivers out there, so I don't do the leftist crap.
You have to qualify your statement.
I don't qualify absolutely squat in a bag. I don't qualify a damn thing. I'm telling you one experience. If people want to be stupid enough to think it's a universal statement, they can go to hell. I'll stay here in Texas.
You said it. You said there are some women drivers that have no problems. Right?
Yeah. I don't need to qualify it. I really don't even have to say that, but everybody gets their panties in such a knot that I got to. Golly. In so many ways, I am like the female Al Bundy, like mentally. I just, but for real though, I've seen that. And Kane, I know you've seen them ladies driving too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Chris thinks that I try to act like Mario Andretti, and I'm like, I don't though. I don't have a lead foot. I don't drive like that. I'm just, but at the same time, like I will anticipate, and you know, I'm just saying I could have maybe if you know would have been a race car driver. Maybe I just think I'm very envious of people who have that job. This segment was going somewhere. Long story short, I don't know what this broad means about truckers and what does race have to do with anything. I don't know what race has. I have had road rage stories that involve black and white drivers. I don't know what that has to do with anything. And I'm going to tell you the most road rage that I've ever seen personally. It's been from women. Oh my gosh, they are so mean when they drive, and I'm one of them. I'm telling you, we are mean. I am mean. We're mean people. When we drive, oh, my word. Well, I don't know what she's talking about here. See, if she had brought this up, I would be like, well, I just think it's because a lot of bees are driving, maybe. Doesn't matter, black or white. That's what I'd be thinking, Tiff. I can say that. You can. You can't say it. You can, but society's, they're all bees. So, the buzzing kind, kids. The hive, yes. The honey kind. They make honey. We love honey. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
Interesting op-ed, and I'll put this in your prep email. Nicholas Sandman, remember, he was one of the Covington kids who smiled after a longtime rabble-rouser, an adult, got into his face. Remember that whole story? And yet it was Nick Sandman because the adult, older man who got into his face and was trying to start a fight was a Indigenous American, and somehow it was everybody had to hate Nick Sandman, which was ridiculous. He wrote this piece saying the corrupt liberal media came for me just like they came for Kyle Rittenhouse, and if he decides to sue, I say go for it and hold the media accountable. Good on him. Build back better. It's going to cost double with extensions. The estimation, according to Committee for Responsible Federal Budget, is that the Build Back Better Act is $2.5 trillion of spending, $2.2 trillion. There's like not enough offsets. It's actually going to be around $5 trillion, which we already know. And it got into all the extensions and the math common core that they're trying to say makes it somewhat. It's actually more than that, really. It really is. Let's see. CRT, we got video of this we'll talk about. CRT supporter allegedly threatens parents, says that he has 1,000 soldiers ready to go, locked and loaded. But is that guy a terrorist? I'm curious. Yeah, we'll talk more about that. And interesting, the most active tweeters are less likely to view the tone or civility of discussions as a major problem on the site, according to a Pew Research survey. Stick with us. We got more in store next. A few other things I want to also make sure that we hit that are also important. I made mention of this Audio Soundbite 14 during our headline section. This is a school board meeting, and a CRT activist threatens the parents. This was in Fort Worth. Fort Worth. This was the Fort Worth Independent School District, the board meeting that just took place on the 9th of this month. Malik Austin told the parents who were criticizing critical race theory, he condemned them. And then you listen to this and you tell me what you make of this. Let's play that.
For those who got an issue with this critical race theory equity, it's something I fought for my children. How dare you come off in here and talk about the things that my daddy and my grandparents went through, the lynching, the oppression, Jim Crow, and my kids are still being afflicted by this. How dare you come off in here and challenge me on critical race theory? Look at the word racism. This is something deliberately done to people of African descent to shackle us down. This hate, fear, mugging ain't won't work no more.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing with this. No, go ahead and keep playing. I didn't mean to talk about it.
1,000 soldiers ready to go.
He says he's got 1,000 folks ready to go. 1,000 people ready to go. Like an army of people. I don't know what that means. If you want to have a discussion about domestic terrorism, have a discussion about domestic terrorism. Number one, this is just fact. This is not a statement on race or anything else. I don't know. I think that there are maybe a very few groups, if any. Actually, I don't know if there's any ethnicity that's never been tread upon and treated perfectly. Humans are horrible. And we have a history of humanity being horrible to itself. That's, you know, bottom line. The Irish were treated horrifically here. My ancestry, which is Irish and, of course, the Native American, treated horrifically here. Now, I don't claim to be like Elizabeth Warren and a member of a sovereign nation, but my ancestry, they have Dawes and Miller numbers because they were on the trail. So, you know, humanity is just horrible to itself. But here's the thing. I absolutely will call you out and disagree with you six ways to Sunday if you're going to insinuate that any opposition to CRT is itself racist. Critical race theory is racism because it literally requires treating people unequally to achieve an equal outcome. That is what equity is. When people are talking about equity, whether it is equitable education or equitable this or that, that is achieved through, and this is a tenet of CRT. So when they tell you that they're not teaching CRT, it's literally outlined as a principle of CRT. I've been writing about CRT since 2012. Actually, longer than that. Derek Bell. I've written tons of stuff about Derek Bell. He was the guy who mainstreamed it in academia. So, But in order to achieve that equitable outcome, it requires inequality. That is a feature. That's discriminatory. It's bigoted. It teaches that in order to achieve that equitable outcome, you first and foremost have to singularly identify yourself through whatever ethnicity or sex you are. That means for me, I have to first and foremost see everything through the eyes of just as a woman. First and foremost, I have to ignore everything else. People have to look at it judge everything through the eyes of being a woman or being this or that or that. It's insane. It promotes segregation. It's racist. And it's Marxist because it comes from the Frankfurt School. Vadi Bakum has the best book out about it called Fault Lines. If you haven't read it, you need to. So this parent is wrong. And no, No, we do not, in the United States of America, threaten people with 1,000 soldiers or 1,000 other people because you disagree with them on the incorporation of inequality to achieve, quote unquote, equity. Tell me where that's ever been successful, by the way. Where's Marxism been successful? Nowhere. It has never been successful anywhere. One of the things that I've been talking about, I do miss homeschooling sometimes because I taught my kids straight no chaser history. And I've been having a conversation with my youngest. My oldest knows about this, but I've been having a conversation with my youngest about basically the proxy communist war that we had in Vietnam. It started because we were watching an episode of Grand Tour, and Jeremy Clarkson, Jeremy Mays, all these guys, they instead of doing with the cars, they had these different boats. And they were driving through the Mekong Delta with these boats. And it was just a very interesting because they have and as you know, Jeremy Clarkson's he's not wokery. And these old British dudes that were riding, like one of them had, I can't remember what type it was. It was an all wood boat. It was like this antique boat, like an 80-year-old boat. Mays was driving that one. And I was laughing my head off. Then they had the other guy with him who had this speedboat. And it's the type of speedboat that that's apparently like the most commonly used to run drugs in Florida. But it was the boat from this short-lived show that Hulk Hogan had called Thunder or something like that. It was a speedboat and it had, and I'm not kidding you, it had Razzle Dazzle on the side. I was laughing so hard. I'd totally drive it. And then Clarkson had this boat. It was a specific type of military boat that you have to go full speed in order to have steering capabilities. And it used jacuzzi jets. It used jets as the propulsion. It's very interestingly engineered. Anyway, he used that. And that's what they used to go through the, back in the day to go through all the rivers and tributaries, etc., during Vietnam War. And I was having a conversation with my son about this is what happens. Yes, this is very entertaining, but you know why they're having these, you know, these big discussions when they're going through the Mekong Delta, for instance, or when they were going through the fort, what did they call it, like sniper force or something like that, where Viet Cong were going after our troops and they were sniping them from, and they were saying that if you were in a boat, you had to basically steer it really, really close to the bank in order to actually be safe in this area. Really fascinating history, but we were talking about everything that led up to that. And really ultimately what was at hand, and we talked about the killing fields, because they started part of their voyage in Cambodia, and they went through Cambodia's capital, and then they went into Vietnam, and it's very interesting. But we were talking about the killing fields, and we were talking about, I was telling them about Pol Pot, and I'm like, you know, this is just the fact. Communism has killed millions of people. There's been a generation of people wiped out because of communism. And this is exactly what we're seeing right now in China they're doing their whole, another cultural wipeout. They're going after everything. I read a story, actually, and I didn't know this, the terracotta soldiers, because this is back when Mao was getting rid of everything. They were actually, the archaeologist who had first discovered the terracotta soldiers was terrified to allow the Chinese government or to have Beijing be aware of this, because they were terrified that they were going to destroy it, because they were destroying everything in history. And that was the cultural revolution that China had. With their great revolution, right? The great proletarian cultural revolution. And I was telling my son about all of this, and I'm like, this communism, this is one of the things that, you know, this was really ultimately kind of a proxy fight between this. It really was. And we were talking about Cold War because we played Black Ops Cold War. And it was, you know, and we talk about things like that and Reagan and all that. It's just very, I miss that aspect of homeschooling, because I really feel like kids are not being told just the straight bad stuff that's associated with Marxism. And now you have grown ass adults who are out here advocating for the very types of theory that lead to millions of deaths like this. It's inexcusable. And it happened in Fort Worth. You don't settle your differences like that.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So, this is kind of funny. This is a Six Park. A Florida woman was arrested for a DUI on Sunday. And when police asked her, okay, so what's happening? I can't say her last name. She's got a million consonants in it. Maria Jerglikowicz. Sounds right. Jerglikowicz. That's right. She's 45 years old, St. Petersburg. She was pulled over about 2 in the morning by Pinellas County Sheriff's Department because they wanted to check. She was apparently driving so badly, they felt like they had to like immediately check and make sure she was okay, right? So they pulled over to check for injury, impairment, you know, et cetera. She had was driving apparently dangerously, swerving, all this stuff. So the officer said her speech was slurred and murmured. She smelled like liquor. According to the arrest affidavit, she couldn't follow simple instructions. But she said, you know, the reason that she gave as to why her driving was bad wasn't because of liquor. It was because she was eating an egg roll while she was driving and it made the car swerve. Now, the arrest affidavit does not indicate that such food item was found in the vehicle, but they did find a cut red plastic straw with white powder residue inside, all kinds of pills in different plastic containers. They were a mixture of controlled substances and some were prescription only, but she didn't have a prescription for any of them. They identified some of them as opioids. And yeah, so she said, well, I did have a drink earlier in the evening. And then apparently they she was under the influence of some of the pills she had taken. So there you have it. So she was eating an egg roll. Good heavens. So this is in Cedar Key, Florida. As agents with U.S. Customs and Border Protection were conducting joint operations, they just happened to come across a dude standing on top of a sinking airplane just out in the ocean. Just they came across it. They were working with Citrus County Sheriff's Office. They said as they approached the sinking plane, an individual was spotted climbing out and standing on the fuselage. The pilot was the only occupant and they were able to rescue him. They didn't identify the occupant, but they said that or given you kind of information as to what led to it. But there is a photo and he's just standing there in the middle of the ocean on a plane, just standing on his plane. Dang, he's having a bad day. A Florida man and woman were arrested after an armed robbery of the Beach Bingo Arcade, according to the Tampa Bay Free Press. Armed robbery, it was an Indian River County Sheriff's Office that handled it. They said they robbed a Vero Beach Bingo at closing time. And they said a female customer who had left came back to the arcade asking employees to let her back in. And then they held them up with a pistol. And yeah, when the officers arrived at the home, they arrested them and they were able to also get the cash from the arcade as well. Stealing an arcade machine? I am full of questions. Like, how much money do you think you're going to get out of that? And I'm not saying do this at all, but I'm just looking at criminal reasoning. So they thought it was better to hold up the employees and then not rob them, but just steal the arcade. Yeah, but they didn't take, like, their money or anything. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. Any value? I mean, that's weird. That's so weird. People are weird, man. The criminals are not the smartest. Jiminy Christmas. Let's see here. A couple of other things to make sure we hit. No, I can't get into that one. Can't do that one. Oh, no. Not that one either. A Florida woman drank High Noon before she ran into a trooper in Tampa. Is High Noon a liquor? I guess it is. We're going to have to investigate that.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.